Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4119.
Won't you give me something, something to hold on to? This old world has taken, taken me for a ride. You come smiling through the doorway, looking like an old regret. Still a whole lot better than you did last time we met. Between a real hard spot and a hole in a concrete wall. Running out of highway looking for a place to fall. Won't you give me something, something to hold on to? This old world has taken, taken me for a ride. Pick me up and learn me, turn me down and burn me. Darling, won't you give me one last try? Well, to tell you true, I thought we'd never be. Lucky I still got a leg on which to stand. I had a half a mind to get gone, leave it all and try to move on. But I just sat there staring at the second hand on the ballroom wall. Now, darling, won't you give me something to hold on to? This old world has taken, taken me for a ride.
From Tulsa, Oklahoma, they are the Turnpike Troubadours. It is their most recent record, which is not even a week old, I don't think. I think it came out last Friday. The title of the record is A Long Way From Your Heart. The name of this song is Something to Hold On To. It is the title of today's show, episode 4119 of LTW, Leaning Toward Wisdom. You can buy this at iTunes for $8.99. At least that's what I was able to buy it for. Turnpike Troubadours, country-ish. I like these guys. These guys have been around for a little while, and they're gaining traction, always gaining traction, which is a good thing. Again, the name of the record is A Long Way From Your Heart, $8.99 at iTunes, and anywhere digital downloaded music is sold. It's another Freeform Friday here from the Yellow Studio. Welcome. October the 27th, 2017. We have finally, fall has fell. It's improper grammar, but you understand it. It's not going to get out of the 50s here today. It's going to get a little warmer than that tomorrow. So it's kind of, it's not only just kind of cool in a cool sort of way, but it's literally cool. And I'm rather pleased about it myself. Hope your week has been well. I'm not going to lie to you, I've had a couple of challenging weeks here as I have tried to help people find something to hold on to. And we've all got something to hold on to. If you are like me, I would kind of hope and I would kind of nudge you perhaps toward adding a spiritual component to your life if one does not already exist. So there's that. For me, that would be Christianity, following Christ. And I'm not going to get on the pulpit, but it's the elephant in the room for me when it comes to something to hold on to. I was thinking about sentences, and I came across, and I had long thought, I remembered as a child, and I've mentioned this before, but this is a recurring theme that kind of comes up for me because I write. Not anything necessarily for you, but sometimes show notes and Facebook entries over at the Facebook group. If you're not in the Facebook group, go to leaningtowardwisdom.com and click the tab. If you care to join us over there, it's a secret, private Facebook group. I write every day. Do you write every day? And I'm not talking about things that might have to do with business, but just for the sake of writing down a clear thought. Prior to going into journalism school at LSU, I was kind of fascinated just by words. Go figure. I mean, here I am this many years later, having nothing to do with journalism, but words still matter. And ABC News, Howard K. Smith was a guy that I took a liking to. A boy from Faraday, Louisiana, by the way, for those of you that may not know. He was one of Edward Murrow's boys. You know, Edward Murrow was a mentor to a group of young boys. These were the pioneers of broadcast news. These were the pioneers of broadcast journalism. Prior to these guys, it didn't so much exist. And of course, many of them had newspaper backgrounds, radio backgrounds, and now we've got this thing called television that was going to change everything. And Howard K. Smith was one of these guys. And I saw an interview or I read it. But when his children were small, he died in 2002 at the age of 87, but when his children were small, he told somebody that he would have his kids sit down every day to just write one clear sentence. And I remember thinking, that's pretty stinking brilliant. I like that. I don't do that, but that's an exercise that I wouldn't mind doing. I may very well incorporate that into my life. Just one clear sentence. And as I was thinking about this, just very coincidentally, I wasn't looking for this, but up in some of my social media feed came an article by Publishing Addict. I know nothing about Publishing Addict, but they did a story on the 13 best first sentences in fiction today, according to Stephen King. Did you know, I did not know this, did you know that Stephen King has sold over 350 million copies of his books? I mean, I knew the guy was a rock star, but 350 million? That's just spectacular, isn't it? And while I'm not necessarily attracted to his genre of work, there is no disputing the fact that the guy is a really good good writer. The best first line I ever wrote is the opening of Needful Things. Printed by itself on a page in 20-point type. You've been here before. It's a good opening line. You've been here before. Right? I like it. Anyway, he goes on to give 13 of these. I'm not gonna give you all of these, but you can find this online, I'm sure. But James Baldwin, in his book This Morning, This Evening, So Soon, the opening line is, "You are full of nightmares, Harriet tells me." It's a good opening line. It's a good sentence, I think. In, I have no idea how to pronounce this. I can't even pronounce the title of the book, much less the author's name. But the line is really good. Here's a weird one for you. That's the sentence. Here is a weird one for you. Pretty good. Pretty good. In Carson McCullers, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. Again, it means nothing to me. Here's the opening line. In a town, there were two mutes. And they were always together. I like this kind of stuff. I realize that you may not, but it's kind of good. In Stephen King's The Gunslinger, the opening line is, "The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed." It's another good sentence. It's another good sentence. You know, these sentences are something you can hang on to. And boy, does it set the tone for a book. Toni Morrison's Paradise. They shoot the white girl first. These are good sentences. And I got to thinking about sentences, and I got to thinking about these best first sentences, and it made me kind of think about last sentences. Just sentences together and the power of words. And I'll bring this full circle, and I'll do it here pretty quickly at the front end of the show. When we're talking about something to hold on to, maybe all times, words matter.
As you let the gravel fly, when I looked up, you had cleared the driveway. You and your big cloud of dust, all your chrome and all your rust, begging too late, scattered on the highway. Well, I have not forgotten when we may as well be in kin, raising hell from here to Bryan Camp. Wishing I could let you in, give you shelter from the wind, but that
these are the Turnpike Troubadours again from the same record, Long Way From Your Heart. The name of the song is The Winding Stair Mountain Blues.
Take your lead with your pistol and your speed. Shoot to kill and plan to be forgiven. Well, in between the mill and whatever deer I kill, truth be told, I barely make a living. Oh, well, you can cuss your fiddle till it breaks down at the binding. And curse your locomotive off the rail. Trouble you've been looking for is easy in the finding. Well, the devil's in the fine detail.
trick or two. And you're planning out your fight in the lantern light. But I don't see this going well for you. No, I don't see this going well for you.
Turnpike Troubadours, the Winding Stair Mountain Blues. My favorite quote is from Goethe. Everything is hard until it's easy. That's a good sentence, I think. That's a really good sentence. And it is a sentence that I hold on to. Not because of any necessary inspiration, although it's kind of sort of inspirational, but because it's just so stinking true. Everything is hard until it's easy. It can be hard to hold on to something when you're struggling, when you're down and out, when things are not quite going as swimmingly as you would like. And this is a recurring theme over the last few weeks, I know, because I have way too many people in my life that have problems and struggles. And it's probably a little bit also the nature of the work, right? I mean, when you're going and you're trying to help leaders, you're trying to help business owners, you're trying to help CEOs, you're encountering people who the very reason that they even need you is the fact that things may not be going so swimmingly. If things were going great and wonderful, I mean, if everything was easy, what do they need you for? So they need you when it's hard. They need you when it's hard. And one of the things that prompted these thoughts for today is some advice that I have found myself giving quite repeatedly in recent months and weeks when we're going through some struggles. I have often given this three-step recipe. You can see if this holds any value for you at all or not. I have found that it works. It works for me. I have found that it works for everyone that I have shared it with. It's nothing that's ridiculously profound. It's nothing that I read. It's the distillation of trial and error and figuring things out. But number one is gratitude. Be thankful. It's so easy for us when we're down and out to just be so focused and so internalized and so feeling sorry for ourselves. And those of us that are given to strong emotions, we can really hop down a rabbit hole and stay there. And that's not good. But it helps for step one to incorporate gratitude, intentional, purposeful gratitude. It's one thing to just say, oh, I'm blessed and I'm thankful. No. I'm going to encourage you to go deeper than that. If you want something to hold on to, then hold on to gratitude. Hold on to really, really, okay, let's label it extreme gratitude. Better yet, let's label it detailed gratitude, specific gratitude. What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? Who are you grateful for? All of us, I don't care how down and out we are, if we will stop, if we'll pause long enough to think about it, we will realize there's probably not a journal on the planet large enough for us to just simply write down all of the things that we are grateful for, or maybe that we should be grateful for. So it starts right there. Step one, gratitude, being thankful. Step two, be busy. There are things that we have to do. There's work that we have to perform. There's accomplishments that we need to be busy about. And it can be any number of things. It could be what you do for a living. It can be what you do in your personal life. These things that we do, these activities that we engage in every day, these things that we hope to accomplish, these things that we hope to achieve every day. It's going to involve some sort of work, and you may be a student, and so it may involve schoolwork. It may involve work. And then there's the other side. Then there's the personal side, the things that we have to get done, right? Now, you could load up in bed and just stay there, but meanwhile, okay, the dishes aren't being done. The housework's not being done. The errands aren't being done. You know, the groceries don't just buy them. Well, I guess you could. You could buy them online, have them delivered, but, you know, there are things that we have to do just to function in life. You know, we've got to get gas in the car and blah, blah, blah. So there's all this activity. There's the stuff that we do that we can avoid doing because we would just rather focus on our problem. So that's step two, is be busy. Not just busy for busy's sake. Be busy in the things that you really need to get done. Step three is serve somebody. Serve somebody. Because when we start looking at other people and thinking, how can I bring value to this person? Is there something that I can do to help them? It forces us to realize, you know, well, I'm not the only one with problems. Before we even get to step one, that's what we're thinking, though. Woe is me, and we want everybody to cry with us. Well, some of us do. Some of us just want to cry alone. But those three steps, I have found, give us three really distinct things that give us something to hold on to. Because everything is hard until it's easy.
Well, I can tell you she's a bad idea. For the good it would do, you got a Chevrolet as old as her. Hell, you bought it new. Nice to meet you, man. Well, I'll be damned if she won't let you leave her line of sight with her left hand.
Like Troubadours. The name of the song is Unrung. And you've heard that phrase before, but I like it. You can't unring the bell. That bell can't be unrung.
Well, I could tell you she's a bad idea for the good it would do. I could tell you she's a mixed up girl. Hell, she's 22. Hanging on every word you say like a
song yet to be sung. So we listen as the last note fades away. That bell can't be unrung. So we listen as the last note fades away. That bell can't be unrung.
And they are right. The bell can't always be unrung. Well, a bell can't be unrung, period. We use that phrase and we use that word or that word picture, I think, to hopefully to teach some pretty important lessons. I'm thinking about the words that we speak. I'm thinking about the words that we say to each other. And sometimes, you know, we speak before we think. We say things that are too harsh. Blah, blah, blah. Hard to get back. You just can't get, the word back. You can apologize for it if you say something that you really wish you wouldn't have said and something that might be so damaging to somebody else. You can apologize. You can try to make amends, but you can't unring the bell. A metaphor that I've often used is like squeezing all the toothpaste out of the tube and then trying to get it back in. I'm sure there's some kind of contraption that you could get that could do that, but, you know, if the grandkids or the kids go smearing, if they squeeze all the toothpaste out on the counter, on the bathroom counter, well, you wouldn't want to put it back in the tube. That's for starters. But even if you could, or even if you did want to, you couldn't. You know, it's done, right? It's just done. Now you just clean up the mess. And so oftentimes when we find ourselves in some trouble, and whether it's trouble of our own making or it's just circumstances beyond our control, and we're looking for something to hold on to, sometimes we can find ourselves, hanging on to words, even words that somebody else might have spoken, even words that we would say to ourselves, and we can hang on to things that really we should let go. And we can all do this. Man, I've got so many stories popping into my head and so many illustrations that I could give you, but I won't bore you. I won't bore you with them, but some are leaping to your mind. You're already thinking of some things that you just can't let go. You should. You really should let them go. There's something to hold on to, but they're not safe somethings to hold on to. I mean, there's a graphic that serves as the illustration for today's post. And it shows a guy and he's holding onto this rock. I've always been fascinated by these rock climbers, especially these free rock climbers, which means they're not tethered. It just scares me to death. My hands sweat profusely anytime I watch this, or if I watch videos of these guys that are climbing up like these sheer rocks, and they've got a shirt and shorts on, climbing shoes, obviously, barehanded, and they got a bag of chalk. They've got a bag of chalk strapped to their hands so that they can keep their hands dry and get a good, and that's it. That's it. And I'm like, no, I do not understand the fascination with rock climbing. I'm somewhat mesmerized by their ability, but you know, this little crevice, something to hold on to, this one little crevice and all of your body weight. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Not happening. For one, my body weight's too much. I mean, I'd end up breaking a wrist or something. So there's that. But sometimes we do hang on to things that are not, it's not a good hold. It's really, it's honestly something that we should let go of, but we gain some comfort from it. We gain some comfort from hanging on to the fact that somebody injured us, somebody said something bad to us, and we hold on to it, and we just won't let it go. And we need to let those things go. And the reason we need to let those things go is not so that we don't hold on to something, but it's so that we can hold on to something better, something more positive, something more profitable. You can't unring the bell, but you can certainly kind of put some earmuffs on, and you can kind of squelch the ring of the bell. And you can absolutely go ring a different bell. there's that, which is what I find myself encouraging people constantly to do. Forget one thing and pursue something else. Replace this thing with something else, which is really what all that three-step stuff is all about. We're involved in the activity of feeling sorry for ourselves. We're involved in the activity of feeling so bad and so hurt and so injured. And we all do this. We all experience that. And we all tend to immediately go to self-pity. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody for that. We all do that. It's kind of human nature. The problem is staying there too long. The problem's getting too comfortable there. The problem is holding on to that. No. We don't need to hold on to that. There are other things we need to hold on to. Seriously positive things that we can hold on to, and these are available to all of us. The three things that I listed are not some supernatural, inexplicable benefit that's only for a select few. Everyone has the capacity to, step one, be thankful, show some gratitude. Everybody has the capacity for step two, and that is to engage in some productive activity, work, school, errands, housework, the general everyday stuff that we have to do to live our lives. We've all got the capacity for that, and everybody's got the capacity to serve somebody. Now, you may think, well, there's nothing I can do. Sure there is. There's plenty you can do. You're just not looking at the world right. You're just looking at the world through your need, and you're not looking at the world through the need of somebody else and thinking, okay, I sense there's something here that I could do, and lean into it. Lean into the very thing that you can do, and then get busy doing it.
shade of blue, the kind that always follows you.
A tornado warning. No, there isn't a tornado warning. That's the name of the song by the Turnpike Troubadours from their 2017 record. I think October the 20th was when this record was released. I'm not positive about that, but who cares? It's a new release over at iTunes for $8.99. The name of the record is A Long Way From Your Heart. These guys are good. They're Tulsa, Oklahoma boys, so, you know. As an Okie myself, I kind of like them. I'd like them even if they weren't from Oklahoma. They could be from Texas, and I would still like them. Yes, I live in Texas. A tornado warning. I've sat through lots and lots of tornado warnings. I spent lots of hours in a cellar when I was quite young. Thank you very much. So this is Tornado Alley, and the skies do just drop and fall. And boy, when there's a tornado, you definitely want something to hold on to. And you want something that's pretty stinking steady, preferably underground. That's the safest place to be. You're going to have challenges. You already do. You've got tornadoes in your life. And the thing with tornadoes is the conditions can be right for it. And the meteorologists in this part of the country who tend to be probably among the very best because of the nature of the weather that we have here in Tornado Alley. In this part of the country, these tend to be cats that are pretty good at their craft because there are certain circumstances that are way too scientific for me to understand that will spawn these storms. The difference in a tropical depression that turns into a hurricane is these are very trackable, right? These are satellite images, take these shots, and you can see it developing, you can see it grow, and all kinds of data and research can be done, and computer tracking can try to forecast, okay, it could go this way, because, well, they're not guessing. They're only guessing based on some science. They're guessing based on atmospheric conditions and the pressures that are going to be put upon that storm to direct it, to make it go in a certain way. And in this part of the country, here in north central Texas, of course, we're very mindful of the things that come into the Gulf of Mexico, because those are the ones that obviously are going to impact us. The ones that go along the eastern seaboard, yes, we care about those people, of course, but those don't have a direct impact on us here in Texas. So being a state that has a Gulf shore, anybody in the Gulf Coast and Gulf Coast states is mindful of these conditions and these things that happen. And there's a certain degree of predictability. You can't predict how strong it's going to be once it gets to land, and you can't necessarily predict where exactly it's going to land, at least way out. But as it gets closer, yeah, the tracking gets way more accurate and things come into clear view. But then it may be too late if you haven't taken action. Which is why so many people get caught, because they waited out, they waited out, they waited out. And some people, even under order of evacuation, they don't. But man, when the storm comes, you need something to hold on to. We all need something to hold on to when the storms come. You may have seen some of these storm chasers that chase tornadoes. And some of these guys have got these automobiles that have been completely modified, and sometimes they've got completely fabricated, you know, roadsters that have these hooks that kind of go down into the ground. You've seen these guys that go up in these, we used to call them cherry pickers. You know, they go up in these contraptions that lift guys up to work on power lines and stuff. And those trucks have got these arms that go out, right, to stabilize them. These arms that go out and either hooked to the ground or put a bunch of pressure, put the whole weight of the vehicle on these four arms to stabilize this arm that is holding these guys up, something to hold on to. Stability. Safety. There's the rub. Stability and safety. We have these storms of life that come our way, and we're looking for something, someone to hold on to, or we hold on to our problem. We hold on to our hatred. We hold on to our bitterness. We hold on to our jealousy. We hold on to our envy. We hold on to all kinds of negative things that are not safe to hold on to. But there's some comfort, else we wouldn't hold on to them. And it takes a conscious effort. It takes a purposeful, intentional effort for us to let go of those things and to get our head, you know, flip that switch. I need to incorporate gratitude. I need to be thankful. I need to get busy. And I need to serve somebody. And in doing that, you're serving yourself. You're never serving yourself when you hang on to hatred. You're not serving yourself when you hold on to bitterness and ill feelings and resentment and all the other negative things that can kind of wash over us. We're people. These things are going to wash over us. But I want to put a heavy emphasis on wash over, in that they come over us and then we get rid of them. We do not let them loiter. We do not let them linger into our life. And we certainly don't let them set up camp and hold on to them and kind of make them, well, these are our friends. You know, bitterness, hatred, envy, all the other negative stuff that you let into your life, these are not your friends. I was reading just this morning, I think it was over on Facebook, Dr. Henry Cloud, and I've talked of him frequently here. And if you don't follow him on Facebook, you absolutely should. I mean, if you just follow him on Facebook, you'll get a great sense of it all. And he was saying something this morning about anger and how anger, someone else's anger, cannot come into your life. It can't come into your life unless you let it. Yeah, but sometimes we like to hang on to anger. It makes us feel better to be mad at somebody because they're the reason for our problem. They are the reason for our difficulties. And if not for them, our life would be better. So there, I'm going to hang on to that. And of course, we're completely deluded because they don't have anything to do with it at all. We let them have that power. They gave us something to hold on to. We're going to hang on to it. We're not going to give it up because, well, it makes them the bad guy and it makes us the good guy.
I hear the clicking of the dominoes. You're shaking up a game. And if we lose a hand, I bet I'll know just who's to blame. But if we hit 21, if we make that call, I better sit here in my chair just feeling 10 feet tall. And we're caught up in the riffraff, circling around the sun. It takes a whole lot of blood and tears just to really love someone. But when it comes back around, that's heaven on earth. You never know till the end, my friend, what your love is really worth. Are you cracking jokes with the common folks? Are you serving to the well to death? I've traveled around and I ain't found nobody quite like you. And is all this living meant to be, or a happy accident? Well, in my heart you pay no rent. Well, in my heart you pay no rent. I hear the crackle of a campfire. You're howling at the moon. We all know that you gotta go, but does it have to be so soon? Bet somebody's yelling last call. I hope you get some rest.
Hope you found everything that you wanted in the place you love the best. Shaking up the dominoes beneath the neon light, knowing anybody else out there couldn't put up a better fight. But the fighting time's over, yeah, it's all gone. You pick up the pieces and we try to carry on.
Turnpike Troubadours. Name of the track is Pay No Rent. In my heart, you pay no rent. I like that. These guys are, they're good wordsmiths, which is why I kind of picked these tracks for today's, but you know me, you know this. I like good tunes. I like good melodies, but man, I'm a sucker for good words. I'm a sucker for good lyrics. And it's why we kind of started the show off talking about these sentences. So as we kind of wind down here, and I'll make this shorter episode than normal, because I need to get in that habit. I owe you a thanks. I owe you a big, big thanks. So let's incorporate here step one. Step one, I'm super thankful for you, and I probably don't express that enough. I should. I'm thankful that you give me some time and some attention. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for that not for the time and attention, because I'm not looking for anything here, and you know that. I'm not looking for any glory. I'm not looking for any fame. I'm not looking for a number of downloads. I'm not that guy. I said it before and I'll say it again. I could not tell you the last time I checked any stats on this podcast. I have no idea, and I don't care how many people are listening. I care who, and I care about hearing from people, and I care about knowing that there's some positive impact. I kind of rather enjoy serving you, which is step three. So we'll jump straight over. I mean, step two is me doing this work. Step two is me wanting to share these things and these thoughts and these ideas. Number one, to hopefully give you a sense as we go to step three, to serve you, to let you know you're not alone. We're all in this. We're all going through the same stuff. All the specifics may be different. You may be going through some things that I'm not, and I may be going through some things that you're not, but we're still going through things. There are a number of people on my mind right now. I posted over at the private group. There's a member of the group over at Facebook, the private Leaning Toward Wisdom Facebook group. She fell. She fell, broke her arm badly. Broke it in a way that, well, not like you could break it and it not hurt, but broke it in a way that I'm sure sounded ridiculously painful. So, you know, we're thinking about her and hoping and praying for her to recover fully and be okay and be pain-free. And I'm thinking of other people. I've got family members who suffer some chronic pain. I've got some other people in my life who are going through some health challenges, and I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about some other people who have had some diagnoses that are just frankly not very good, and they know it. And it's now a game of time. It's now a game of, well, let's hold on to as much time as we can. Let's make the most of whatever time we've got, and let's try to stave off the inevitable as long as we can. And then there are people that have all kinds of other issues that may not have anything to do with health or wellness, but jobs and finances. And then there are those people that have some of the most vexing kinds of problems, and that's relationships. There's a lot of lonely people on the planet. And if I can help assuage your loneliness for just a period of time and kind of walk this walk with you as you have me in your earbuds, whether I'm in your earbuds at gym or in a commute or on a walk around the neighborhood, I'm cool with that. Happy to be able to do that. So I'm really grateful. So my three steps are really kind of all rolled up into one in this podcast at leaningtowardwisdom.com, because I'm trying to lean and I'm wanting to help you lean. And I'm not pretending to be wise enough to tell you how to do that. But we just share a few of these things because it's what we do. Because everything is hard until it's easy. Got to figure out the hard way so we can find our way to where it's easy. And it's arduous work. It sometimes is lonely work. It's very difficult work. And I just hope to be a voice along the way to help you. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the website. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. I did not divulge that song. Turnpike Troubadours, Long Way From Your Heart. The name of that song was The Hard Way. The Hard Way. Okay, we came in under an hour. Okay, we're going to go over an hour with this what are these, epilogues? The last track is going to be a song entitled Pipe Bomb Dream. Pipe Bomb Dream. Turnpike Troubadours. The name of the record, A Long Way From Your Heart. $8.99. Go buy it at iTunes. Please, please, please support these guys. They're good. They're really good. And if you care to support the cause here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, I do accept iTunes gift cards. Any amount will do. No amount is too large. It helps us buy the music that we share. And I want you to buy the music that we share. So there's that. So I'm going to take you out with Pipe Bomb Dream. I just kind of like, well, I like the song, but, you know, why can't you like that title? We've heard of pipe dreams, but this is a pipe bomb dream. See ya.
Yeah.